first reading is found in Acts chapter 1, verses 15 through 17, 21 to 26. In the days between Jesus' ascension and Pentecost, Peter oversees the process by which one of the members of the community of believers is chosen to be the 12th apostle in order to fill the vacancy created by Judas's treachery and death. A reading from Acts. In those days, Peter stood up among the believers, together the crowd numbered about 120 persons, and said, "Friends, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit, through David, foretold concerning Judas, who became a guide for those who arrested Jesus. For he was numbered among us and was allotted his share in this mystery. So one of the men who accompanied us during all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the day when he was taken up from us, one of these must become a witness with us to his resurrection." So they proposed two. Joseph called Barsabbas, who also was known as Justus, and Matthias. Then they prayed, "And the Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which one of these you have chosen to take the place in this ministry and apostleship from which Judas turned aside to go to his own place." And they cast lots for them, and the lot fell on Matthias. He was added to the 11 apostles. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please read the psalm responsively. Psalm 1. Happy are they who have not walked in the counsel of the wicked, nor lingered in the way of sinners, nor sat in the seats of the scornful. Their delight is in the law of the Lord, and they meditate on God's teaching day and night. They are like trees planted by streams of water, bearing fruit in due season, with leaves that do not wither. Everything they do shall prosper. It is not so with the wicked. They are like chaff, which the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked shall not stand upright when judgment comes, nor the sinner in the counsel of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked shall be destroyed. The second reading is from 1 John chapter 5. God has borne witness to the gift of eternal life in Jesus Christ. Whoever believes in the Son of God believes in the witness of God and has the promise of eternal life. A reading from John. If we receive human testimony, the testimony of God is greater, for this is the testimony of God that he has testified to his Son. Those who believe in the Son of God have the testimony in their hearts. Those who do not believe in God have made him a liar by not believing in the testimony that God has given concerning his Son. And this is the testimony. God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Please stand as you are able to receive the gospel.
Alleluia, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of it.
This is the Holy Gospel according to John, the 17th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus prayed, "I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words that you gave to me, I have given to them, and they have received them, and know in truth that I came from you. And they have believed that you sent me. I am asking on their behalf. I am not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them in your name that you have given me. I guarded them, and not one of them was lost, except the one destined to be lost, so that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and I speak these things in the world, so that they may have my joy made complete in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I am not asking you to take them out of the world, but I ask you to protect them from the evil one. They do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, so that they may also be sanctified in truth. The gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. A little humor for Mother's Day. The children were asked in school to write what ingredients mothers are made of. One child said, God made mothers out of clouds and angel hair and everything nice in the world and one dab of mean. So today we talk about Jesus praying. Here are some children's prayers. A five-year-old said grace at family dinner one night. Dear God, thank you for these pancakes. When he concluded, his parents asked him why he thanked God for pancakes when they were having chicken for dinner. He smiled and said, I thought I'd see if God was paying attention tonight. During a minister's prayer one Sunday, there was a loud whistle from one of the back of the pews. Gary's mother was horrified. She pinched him into silence and after church asked, Gary, whatever made you do such a thing? Gary answered soberly, I asked God to teach me to whistle and he just then did. One night, Mike's parents overheard this prayer. Now I lay me down to rest, and I hope to pass tomorrow's test. If I should die before I awake, that's one less test I have to take. So today we overhear Jesus praying. This is the only time in the Bible, in the Gospels, when Jesus prays. Now we might say, well, what about the Lord's Prayer? Well, Jesus is teaching his disciples how to pray with the Lord's Prayer, okay? He's saying, when you pray, pray this way. You know, I just forgot, I was gonna, there's some children here. Would kids like to come up and I'll do a little children's sermon? Would you like to come up? Not really. Well, maybe I'll do it from here. Get this baby puzzle. It's Ernie and Bert. Well, what happened? It's not a complete puzzle. There are pieces missing. Jesus said he wants all of his people to be one with each other. What happens when we're all one? It's like a puzzle that gets completed, right? This is what Jesus wants for his churchly people. He wants them all to be one, okay? And so if someone's missing, we don't have the complete picture. We work that all Christians would be one with each other. That's our dream. Okay. So Jesus does pray that everyone be one, that they be one with each other. Just as he says, just as the Father and the Son are one, may they all be one. It's kind of like a cross-shaped community, okay? So Jesus wants all his church, we use the word Catholic with a small c, not because we're Roman Catholic, but because Catholic means of all times and all places that there is one church. He wants everybody to be together. So I have to be proud of us as Lutherans because we work harder than any other denomination to work on ecumenical issues. Wants everyone to be one, but also one with the Father and the Son. He wants the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit enables the community of Christ. So it's a cross-shaped community that Jesus prays for. So this is the only place where Jesus prays, and we overhear Jesus. This really should be called the Lord's Prayer. Maybe we should be like our Roman Catholic friends who call the Lord's Prayer the Our Father, because this is truly a prayer that Jesus prayed rather than teaching his disciples how to pray. What does he pray for? He prays for those who are in the world. Those who are in the world. He doesn't pray for the world. Now, Jesus loves the world. God loves all of his creation. And God wants the whole creation to come and be part of this community of belief. That is the goal, to save everyone. But he doesn't pray for the world. Now, remember, we have the famous verse, God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. So the Son was given for the world. But Jesus is praying this, by the way, this is his farewell discourse. It's a bunch of chapters right in the middle of John, right before Jesus is arrested, tortured, crucified, and eventually risen from the dead. It's his farewell discourse, and he has this long prayer, chapter 17. He prays for those who are in the world, of his followers. And he prays for us because he prays for those who will come to believe through his name. Okay? He's talking about the disciples, but he prays for those who will come to believe through their witness. Of course, you know, that has come down through the centuries. So Jesus is praying for us. How does that make you feel? He prays that they would remain in the world, but not be of the world. Have you ever heard that expression? We are in the world, but not of the world. That means, you know, that we live amongst all peoples, and we live in this creation with its imperfections, with its corruption, and so forth. Why didn't Jesus just say, I'm taking them out of the world right now, because the world is so horrible, there are so many challenges, so much evil, I'm just taking them out, saving them. Some Christians, you know, think there's going to be a rapture and somehow that, you know, faithful, believing Christians are going to be raptured up to the clouds, but that's not biblical. No, we're supposed to stay in the world and witness to the world, to lift up the world, okay? Not be dragged down by the world and become, you know, the worst part of worldliness, but to lift the world. We're supposed to ride above. We're supposed to be a light to the world. Jesus says, I am not praying to you, Father, to take them out of the world, But I am coming to you, and I have given them my word. Protect them. Protect them. Jesus prays to the Father. So we are supposed to be in the world, and all sorts of Christians have tried to take themselves out of the world. One of the most famous examples of this is the Bishop Hill Colony in Illinois. Have any of you been there? It's really a fascinating place. It's in western Illinois, and it was a Swedish Pietist colony that was established in 1848. They wanted to make utopia, where it would just be Christians, the true believers, and they would be away from the world and wouldn't have any of the bad influences of the world. This community lasted about 9 months before it just deteriorated. They couldn't do it. They couldn't do it because they, too, had brokenness within them. We're not supposed to be away from the world. We're supposed to be in the world, but not of the world. And that means that's tough. Jesus says they will be hated. The world has hated them. Well, is it that serious? I think of mothers on Mother's Day, and almost every mother has had a teenager that said, "I hate you. You're ruining my life." I know, right? You're saying my kid never said that. And that's good if they never did. But you know what I mean? It's tough. When we try to do well, sometimes we are not approved for it. We're hated for it. Now, we do live a difference between where we live in this age and a difference between in Jesus' age. We live in a world that is, quote, Christian. The Western world, you know what I mean. Europe, the Americas, right? There are churches everywhere. Almost everybody claims to be a Christian on some level or to believe in Jesus on some level. We are kind of in a Christian-friendly world. Unlike the time of the early church. The early church, they were in opposition. People hated them. We've been studying Revelation in Bible study, and in Revelation, some people were being put to death because they would not give in to honoring the emperor. And so there's a lot of, in Revelation, there's a lot of exhortation. Stick with it. No one's being put to death. And we're not being restricted from coming and worship. There's, heaven forbid, a day, you know, when the authorities or the police are outside and saying, you know, you cannot worship here. This is outlawed, this religion. No, we have this freedom, thank God. And not so in the world. And over the world, in places like the Middle East, in India, churches are being burned down and there's being no justice, no accountability for it. Other places, sometimes a little bit in China, in other places, it is against the world to be Christian. So what does it mean for us in our Christian-friendly era and world? There are still broken things about the world that we should not participate in. There are things that are corrupt. Now, God is present in creation, and God loves creation, and God wants creation to respond in the right way. But there are sometimes we have to make choices to not participate in evil. I had a parishioner at one of my churches who had taken a stand in her corporation against some very corrupt things going on and saying, this is not I can't participate in this. This is wrong. And she was cut off, and they came after her and made sure that she couldn't get employed. She struggled mightily, but you know, she said, I did what was right. I felt I did what was right. So there are times when you will not be liked and not be friendly from people when you take a stand for something. So the world in Jesus' prayer are those who are adverse to God's ways, are adverse to God's ways. And it's hard in our day and age to choose, to try to discern what is right and what is wrong. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's hard. It's good to be part of a community. A community helps us with this, a religious community, a Christian community. Jesus died not for just us Christians. Jesus died for the world. But God does not love corruption that goes on, evil that goes on in the world. God does not love that. God wants better. So we are left in the world to be God's representative, to work towards justice, to work towards righteousness, to work towards sharing God's love. And that, believe it or not, God's love is not always received gratefully by everybody. So there will be challenges, and there are challenges in the world. But we are called to remember that Jesus prayed for us, and Jesus is present for us. And even now, Jesus is present in a little piece of bread, a little sip of wine. He invites us to participate in him, to let him come in to our hearts and mouths in Holy Communion. Come now and share in that meal. Amen.